all of us, I think, that are here today can think of some particular moment that stands out in our mind concerning our mother's care for us. Oh, it could have been as simple as her kissing your boo-boo, right? Or holding you close when you were afraid of something. I remember as a child, when we were living in Nova Scotia, Canada, they had a bagpipe band that would come down the main street. And as a two-year-old, three-year-old, that sound scared me to death. I remember being so frightened, I would run and hide under the bed until they were gone. And my mom would, of course, try to calm me down and comfort me. Your mom also would defend you if you were picked on or you were attacked by others. She would fix you your favorite food, right? Especially on your birthday. She'd give you a special gift at certain times. Maybe your mother would take you to fun places that you like to go. We all have some pleasant memory of our mother's care. I want to make very clear that in the Bible, God the Father is a spirit. He is neither male nor female. He's a spirit. Jesus is God in a human body, and he came as a male. And so very often in the Bible, God is referred to, if not always, God is referred to with a masculine pronoun, right? There are some that would like to make God a female, but he's not. But here's what I want to say. There are at least three occasions in the Bible where God's care and God's love is presented as the heart of a mother. I found three times especially that the Bible uses the imagery of a mother's heart to describe God's loving care for the nation of Israel. And the first one, if you'll turn with me, is found in the book of Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, chapter 49 and verse 15. You may have heard this before. This is a familiar verse as far as Isaiah is concerned. But here's what it says. Can a woman forget her sucking or her nursing infant, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. And this is God speaking to Israel. And so the first thing that I want to say about God, as he is presented these three times with the love of a caring mother, here it refers to God as a God of commitment. It refers to the commitment of God. This is a metaphor of a nursing mother, very tender. And in verse 14, you have the cry of a baby. It's like the cry of a baby that feels abandoned by his mother. And it is a picture of Israel expressing her feeling of being forsaken by God. And most scholars think that this may be a reference to the Babylonian exile, when the nation of Israel was carried into captivity, having been destroyed by the Babylonians. Look at what it says in Isaiah 49:14. But Zion, and Zion is another name for Jerusalem or for the southern kingdom of Judah. But Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. But look at God's commitment to them in verse 15. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet I will not forget thee. So there's the cry of a baby feeling as if it's been abandoned. Israel feeling as if God has forsaken her. But look at the comparison that I want you to notice in verse 15. Amid Israel's fear of being abandoned by God, here God uses the most tender image of a nursing mother to illustrate his commitment to Israel, to illustrate his faithfulness to Israel. It's really a profound declaration of God's unbreakable covenant love to his people. A love, if you see what he's saying in verse 15, even surpasses the most intense human affection. A nursing mother's love for her precious infant. This is the expression of God's heart for Israel. It is even more intense. There is an intense connection. There is this nurturing love that God has for Israel here. It's possible, what he says in verse 15, it's possible that a mother could neglect her precious nursing infant. That happens. I mean, there are what they call safe boxes in different states and cities where a mother could drop off her nursing infant in that safe box and just abandon it. So it's possible. It's not likely, but it's possible. It happens. But what God says in verse 15 concerning his relationship with Israel is, while it is possible that a mother could forsake her precious nursing infant, it is totally impossible with God. God is entirely immune to ever forgetting his people Israel. God's love is superior to human love. God's love is unconditional. God's love is everlasting. God has said this about Israel, and this is what blows my mind when people say that there is no longer any relationship that God has for Israel now or in the future. He says, I have loved thee, Israel, with an everlasting love. Now, we who are believers, we have, through salvation, through faith in Jesus, have entered into an everlasting life, right? That we will not perish, but have everlasting life. If you're a believer, you have that promise of God, that the life that you received when you look to him for forgiveness of sin and you receive Jesus as your personal Savior, you became the recipient of everlasting life. God says, that's the kind of love that I have for Israel. And here he uses this intense comparison and connection and nurturing love that he has for them, that regardless of any circumstance, regardless of the nation of Israel's sin of rejecting Messiah, regardless of the sorrows that they'll have and will pass through, regardless of their trial and their chastening, under God's watchful eye, even when it seems that God is hidden from his people, he has a steadfast, unbreakable, covenant-loving commitment to them. And I'm telling you, if God would forsake Israel, then what hope would there be for any people who claim to be the people of God? So as a mother is committed to her nursing infant, so God is committed to his people, Israel, and to us who are the people of God. Here's a second metaphor that is an image describing a mother's heart that is the equivalent of God's love for Israel. Jump over, if you will, with me for a moment to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. And in Matthew 23, Jesus says, beginning in verse 37, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen," a mother hen, we might say, "even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." So here's a second mother metaphor that describes God to us. Not only is he a God of commitment, as we saw in Isaiah 49, 15, but here he is a God that desires to protect against judgment. This is a prediction of the judgment of Jerusalem that was destroyed by the Roman army in AD 70, 2,000 years ago. And here he uses the metaphor of a mother hen protecting her chicks. Now, I doubt if any of you grew up on a farm, but some of you are from other countries, and maybe you grew up in rural areas and you had chickens. Hey, there's chickens even in the five boroughs. Did you know you can have chickens in the five boroughs? I don't think you can have a rooster, because roosters are loud, and roosters are crowing all hours of the day and night. And so you can't have a rooster, but you can have, I think, as many as five chickens in the boroughs of New York City. Look it up. Call 311. Check me out. Fact check me on that. But you can have chickens. If you know anything about a hen, there, you know, a rooster is a male, by the way, and a hen is a female. And here the picture is not just a hen, but a hen that has babies, a hen that has chicks. So it's a mother hen. And it's a picture here of Jesus, who is God in the flesh. And he is saying, your rejection of me. Jesus reveals that Israel as a nation has consistently rejected his message. But despite Jesus's persistent offer, the people have chosen to repeatedly refuse him. And as a result, that is what's leading them to impending judgment. Their temple would be destroyed. Jerusalem as a city would be totally destroyed. And it's a rejection on their part of Jesus, and thus of God's grace. It's a rejection of the grace of God that would shelter them from judgment. And so, you know how protective a mother is of her children? I mean, the child could be wrong, and the mother would still stand up for that child to some degree, in some way, to protect that child. Here is Israel's rejection, and yet Jesus, the God that they rejected, is seeking their protection. Jesus desires, like a mother hen, to gather his people, Israel, under his protection, to offer them salvation, to offer them safety, and to offer them love similar to a mother hen who would shield her brood of chicks under her wings. Which reminds me of a famous psalm, doesn't it, you? In Psalm 91, and the first verse, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust." It's a picture of God as a mother hen. It's describing God wanting to protect his people from judgment. In the context of Psalm 91, it's from the attack of the enemy, but it's a protection that God wants to give to his people to shield them. And what you have in verse 37 of Matthew 23 is a lamentation on the part of God, his mother's heart, you might say. There is a lamentation that he cannot give them protection from this rejection that's bringing judgment upon them as a nation. So Jesus in verse 37 is personally addressing his words to the city of Jerusalem. And Luke's gospel gives us a different view, and it has him intensely weeping when he's saying this. He's weeping profusely, Luke tells us in Luke 19:41, as he comes down the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem. So with intense weeping, with the affections, you might say, of a loving mother who's rejected by her very own child, he wants to protect them from judgment. There's a third and final mother metaphor that images the mother's heart describing God's loving care for Israel, and that also is in the book of Isaiah. And it's in Isaiah chapter 66. Isaiah chapter 66. Here, the Lord is talking about the future that is in store for the nation of Israel. A future restoration, a rebirth of Israel, if you will. In verse 5, he says, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word." And if you will drop down to verse 10, "Rejoice ye with Jerusalem, and be glad with her, all ye that love her. Rejoice for joy with her, all ye that mourn for her, that ye may suck and be satisfied with the breasts of consolations, that ye may milk out and be delighted with the abundance of her glory." Verse 12, "For thus saith the Lord, behold, I will extend peace to her like a river, and the glory of the Gentiles like a flowing stream. Then shall ye suck and be born upon her sides and be dandled upon her knees." It's the picture of a mother and her child. Verse 13, "As one whom his mother comforteth, so I will comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem." Here's the third thing that pictures God as a loving mother: commitment, and of course, judgment, that is protection from it, and here, encouragement. That 13th verse of chapter 66. It's a metaphor of a mother comforting her child after her child has been disciplined. You know, God disciplines those whom he loves. And God has been disciplining Israel, is now disciplining her, and will discipline her like never before in what is called the time of Jacob's trouble, that great tribulation. Well, that's all past now, and this is looking forward to the future when he comforts Israel as a mother comforts a child after that child has been disciplined. It's a tender picture of God's nurture, soothing the soul, mending the broken, and providing peace in the time in which they have been chastened. When I was a child, there was a man in the church that my dad pastored, and he would often say, "Jim, did you get spanked today?" It was back in the days when they spanked children. By the way, I don't think that should ever change. But anyway, it was like hardly a day went by that I wasn't spanked. So that's why he would ask that. I remember a particular time when I was spanked for something. It must have been bad because I was spanked for it, and my dad sent me to bed without dinner. And later on that night, I remember there was the door opened real softly, quietly, And here my mother came in with a little food for me to eat. Now, I don't know if she got my dad's permission to do that. Really, I don't really care. I didn't then, I still don't. I don't know if my dad knew what she was doing, but I sure appreciated that when she did that. Well, you know what? That's the heart of a mother. My dad was a disciplinarian. It's not that my mom never disciplined me, but it was a different type of discipline altogether. The heart of a mother. And this is what you see regarding God's comfort that he's given to Israel that has been chastened by him. That's God's heart. And notice, it really is in the context of God. He's restoring. He's restoring Jerusalem by turning their misery into joy. Joy for a people that have this kind of attitude. In other words, the chastening that God brought upon them worked. Because he says in that fifth verse, "Hear the word of the Lord, ye that tremble at his word." And there is another similar phrase to that down farther in this passage. I'm trying to find it right now. Where he says that you not only tremble at my word, but now the passage is, I forgot to mark it. But anyway, it's a people who are humbled. It's a people who are broken. And he says, who tremble at my word. And so this is the Lord coming to them and seeking to restore them, to bring joy to those that he says are poor and of a contrite spirit who tremble at my word. No, I think it's in verse 2. It's the verse I'm talking about. Yeah. To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. This is a people that have been broken by God's chastening. And now God is coming to encourage them, to comfort them, to restore them. They're completely humbled. They've been crushed. They've been broken by the overwhelming consequences of the weight of their guilt and their sin. And they have come to the place where they can do nothing of themselves without any self-sufficiency. They have nowhere to turn but to seek God and to seek God's comfort. And with a profound respect for the word of God, they tremble at his word because they recognize it as God's voice speaking to them amid his chastening of them. God wants to restore Israel, and he will. There's coming a day when he will restore Israel. In fact, it says in the same chapter before verse 7, before she travailed, she brought forth, and a nation shall be born at once. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. There's going to be a very abrupt and sudden rebirth and restoration of Israel in the future. He's the God that brings encouragement. He comforteth, he restores, and he reinforces. God comforts, and he comforts similar to a mother's unconditional love, offering unwavering encouragement to people that seek him, that tremble at his word. God desires to comfort and to bring joy to his people, Israel, to do them good, to be a source of encouragement, a source of strength. And he does that, and he offers that to anyone who will look to him, as that second verse says, the man that will look to him, that is poor and contrite in spirit, and trembleth at his word. So God has a commitment to his people that is stronger than a nursing mother to her infant. And God has a deep desire to protect his people from judgment by even taking that judgment for them, taking that judgment on their behalf, having that judgment fall on him as a mother seeks to protect her children from harm. This is what God seeks to do for his people. That's what the cross is all about. That's what Jesus dying in your place was all about. It's God with a mother's heart, so to speak, taking your judgment upon himself, dying for your sin, dying in your place instead of you, that through his love, paying that price in full, you can be the recipients of his forgiveness, of his encouragement, because God provides his people great encouragement. As a mother comforts her child that was punished for his sin, that God brings that child into a restored relationship with himself. You've heard the saying, oh, that's the mother of all. Well, I remember, where was it? In Afghanistan, the mother of all bombs, right? Well, God is the mother of all mothers, you might say. He has the quintessential mother's heart, superior to any human mother, the heart of God for his people Israel and for anyone that names him as their personal Savior and Lord.